If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
So the story goes, neighbors not pleased to see dozens of guests flowing into a party in Weddington, North Carolina. So they alerted police to the situation. Now when authorities arrived, they found one Michael Brown, 37, who they say had invited several hundred guests to the party. Also was charging them admission.
Damn.
Now Brown first claimed he was the homeowner, then said he was the grandson of the owners. After several additional epic failures in telling the truth, he finally admitted he was the lawn guy and had no relation to the homeowners whatsoever, according to a press release. The actual homeowners? Yeah, they were on vacation at the time. So police broke up the crowd. And per the press release, many of the partygoers doubled down on their criminal behavior as they decided to leave the area recklessly in their cars, which led to numerous traffic stops. Police also noted property damage in the home. Now, as far as Brown, he was arrested and charged with breaking and entering, contributing to the delinquency of a minor, injury to real property, obtaining property by false pretenses, and second-degree trespassing. He has since been free on bond, and he tells WSOC-TV, he did nothing wrong.
Oh, of course not.
And thinks the homeowners will still use him for their lawn care.
You know what? I'm going to bet and say they don't.
Who is your most memorable neighbor and why? 206-803-ROCK.
Another tip, it was weird. When we first bought our house, 11 years ago, I guess, we hadn't redone it yet, and it was some very noticeable things about the inside, but three different sets of people came over, check out the new house, and when we got into the basement, this one chick's like, she's kind of looking around, and she's like, man, I've been here before. I'm like, you've been here before? It's like, oh, yeah, man, a band set up in the corner, had this huge party, blah, 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 blah. About 2 months later, someone else comes over, walk down to the basement. As soon as they get to the top of the stairs and look down, they're like, I've been here before, man. Oh, dude, yeah, this used to be a big party house, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, the owner was like a 90-year-old dude who watered his plants naked, is my understanding. They're like, well, he lived upstairs. So at some point, he rented out the downstairs to whoever lived there. And I guess this person notoriously threw great parties. But, I mean, three.
And he didn't mind, apparently.
He could not hear.
Oh.
That's my understanding. Right, but yeah, okay. Dude, we did drugs in this room. I'm like, Jesus Christ, man. So,
remember the carpet.
Oh, yeah.
Who is your most memorable neighbor and why? 206-803-ROCK.
And actually, that was the tip-off.
Yeah, so was say, that carpet. I mean, if you remember that, how could you forget it?
Nobody else had that carpet. And now we don't either. Hello, Debbie. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi.
Hola. So who was your memorable neighbor?
He was, I thought, just a lady that really liked to be quiet around her. And she was constantly yelling at me and my children. We lived in a row of townhomes, so we shared walls.
Mm-hmm.
And about 2 months after she moved in, after yelling all the time for everybody to shut up, she killed her mother and chopped her up in the bathtub and then hired the neighborhood kids to throw the garbage bags away that were containing her body parts.
Whoa! Oh, my God!
Okay.
Jeez, man.
So hopefully she wasn't your neighbor anymore after that?
No, she's in jail, I think, for the rest of her life.
Now, were your kids involved in any of the trash removal?
No.
How did they find out that she chopped up her mother into pieces?
I'm not real sure. I think her brother might, because her brother lived there, too. I think her brother might have told them.
Yeah, I think I would. If I'm living with my brother, like, hey, wow. I'm going to reach out to God. So how long had she lived next to you?
About 3 months.
And did she own or was she renting? You don't?
I was renting. We were all renting.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
That was crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be a tough sell. That's what I was asking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was young, too. Not even, I don't know. But she, chopped her up.
Okay. All right.
Wow. That's, I did not see that coming.
No, I did not either. I don't know that I've ever lived,
next to a murderer?
Well, next to anybody who took anything to that level, as far as just, you know, being that type of criminal. You know, I mean, that's
next level. That's even murderers would say, like, wow, man, that's a bit of overkill. We did have a neighbor who, I do not know what crime he'd committed. And I've told you this before, but the U.S. Marshals showed up at our house. And they're serious as all get out, you know what I mean? They opened the door. Is there a parent home? I think I was like 14. I'm like, hey, Mom, there's some serious-looking brothers out here, man. And so they come in. I hear them talking a little bit, but they hold up a picture of this dude. And I'm like, oh, yeah, man, I know him. And I can't remember his name now. But I'm like, that's so-and-so. And they're like, have you seen him? I'm like, not recently. And that's when my mom's kind of like, what did he do? And they're like, well, we're not at liberty to tell you.
I had one of those, too.
Well, the thing is, so my Uncle Rick, the cool one with the Corvette and the smoking the bandit car and all that kind of thing, he was a U.S. Marshal still at the time. So my mother brings this up to them. Well, at this point, now they're invited in the house and they're sitting around the dining room table and they're drinking coffee and they're telling my mother all the stupid things that my uncle, her brother, does as a U.S. Marshal, blah, blah, blah. But they still would not tell her what this guy did. But at the point that the marshals are looking for you, it's for real.
Yeah. No, look, yeah. I had a house, 8 roommates in this huge old like kind of Victorian style house. There was an apartment downstairs, and we shared a common laundry area mm-hmm. in the basement with a guy who lived in the downstairs apartment.
Yeah.
All right? And maybe you would see that guy once in a blue moon. Fortunately, the way the house was on a hillside, he was, like, down below in the bottom apartment, which was... There was still, like, a... There was a basement, and then he was even below that basement.
Below the basement.
Right. So he was, like... It was, like, a tiered...
He was in a grave.
He was basically down in the ground.
Yeah.
There was, like, 2 windows down there. And we got a knock at the door. I was not home at that point in time yet. But we got a knock on the door from an officer who had... a plain-clothed officer in a suit.
Okay.
Who came up, identified himself to Matt, said, hey... We're just asking you questions about your downstairs neighbor. The guy lives in the apartment. And Matt's like, hey, I don't really know the guy. I've run into him a couple times doing laundry.
Sure.
That's about it. That's about all I know about this guy. So about a week goes by. Now we have agents around our home, and they are attempting to breach this apartment. They're trying to get...
Are you home at this time?
At this point in time, I had come home in the...
Okay.
After they had already gotten in. Okay, he was not there. But we did finally, because they were asking all of us, like, look, and we were honest. We just don't know who this guy really is. He gets up, he goes to work, he comes home. He doesn't really make any noise. I mean, all we know is that his trash can's always out when ours is, you know. And
all right.
We don't know what's in there because it wasn't like recycling and all that crap. Just throw your bags in that. But he was wanted, apparently, in some other state for what they said were heinous crimes.
Oh, when you use heinous, that's real bad.
We're like, well, what does that mean? Like, well, we're not at liberty to say, but, you know.
How about a guessing game? Did he chop up his mom in the bathtub, heinous?
No, yeah.
Or...
But they were on the look for him. I don't know if they ever found him. We didn't know his name. We did not even know his name.
Sure.
So, I mean, no way of looking it up then. No internet back then. So you have no idea what was going on. But we were like, wow, man. We're just speculating, you know. You get stoned, like, wonder what he did, man.
It's heinous.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. When we first moved to Seattle, man, I just bought my first place in Baltimore. 3 weeks later, I found out we're working in Seattle. So I'm like, crap, right? So I got to rent this joint out. I won't go through the whole story of the guy that rented it. But the guy that did rent it, he paid in cash, all right? And so a mutual friend said, hey, this guy is looking for a place to rent. I get in contact with him. He's like, well, dog, I already got a place. It's $525 a month. So I gave him my place for $500. I buy that. I'm just going to undercut him. I just need someone in there. So... He was there a little bit over a year. And
is that the guy that you...
This is how we met. We met at a bar, the place we called the Dirt Church. And I don't know what his beef is with me. And he's a big dude, man. But he decided he wanted to beat my ass that night. And it just got to that point. And keep in mind, I'm very, very broke at this point in my life. So we go outside, and he puts his like hands on the chest and just, I mean, pushes me back. Parallel parked car, right? I kind of crash into it. Then he just kind of looks at me, and he's like, man, I can't even beat your in ass. And walks back inside. The reason was, at the time, I had a pair of white Chucks. They were not white anymore. They were quite soiled. But they had no soles. So as my buddy called them feet hats. All right? So I'm basically,
basically walking around barefoot.
I'm walking on my socks. I just had the shoes disguising the fact over time. Okay? But when he shoved me, my shoes kind of came up a little bit on my shin and kind of turned different directions. So his perspective when he saw this, he's like, basically, you're too poor for me to beat your ass. Like, you need any help you can get. And he was right. So the nice thing is, he did not beat my ass. That was not a guy I wanted to tangle with. We saw each other a few times after that, always at the bar. We'd kind of mean mug each other, but no more beef. You know what I mean? And Leon had a talk with him, and that changed things a little bit. I do not know what Leon said, but things changed. So all these years go by. We're about to move to Seattle. I just hear this guy, Tom, needs to rent a place. My place was kind of hard to find if you did not understand how to get there. So we're on the phone with each other. I'm kind of guiding him in. And I said, look, I'll go stand in the backyard, and I'll just wave my hand. And when you see me, just pull up to that spot. So we're still on the phone. I just hear him. He kind of chuckles a little bit. He's like, God damn. I'm like, what, man? He's like, you'll see. So the car pulls up, and of course, it's this dude, Tom, who the last time we even spoke, he wanted to beat my ass, and I had the feet hats on that went sideways, all right? So that's the guy I'm going to rent to. And we both agreed, if someone had told me 12 years ago, however long had gone by, that I would rent a place to you, I'd have laughed in their face. And he goes, brother, if somebody told me I was going to give you money to rent a place. So basically, we smoked a bowl, man, and we got along fine. So cool. He takes over the place. So for about a year, and again, you don't ask a lot of questions, but he would always overnight rent, and it was cash. My man did not write checks. There's no such thing as a money order.
Right.
It was straight up, which I appreciated. I'm like, cool, because it goes straight in my wallet. About a year, year and a half goes by. I get a call from a woman I've never met. And she says, hey, I live in your old building. I live in the apartment above Tom. Tom's renting from you, right? I go, yeah. She goes, hey, look, the cops keep coming by looking for him. I said, what does he do? She goes, he's drug dealing. I said, well, I don't care. She goes, no, you're misunderstanding. He's not doing small quantities. As she explained it, and keep in mind, this was like gated little condo complex. Like loads of very expensive cars would come in like a parade, pull in front of this place. They would walk in. 10 minutes later, they get back. And she said, you could just look at these guys and know you don't want to F with these guys. You know what's up. And so I have to call Tom. I go, Tom, man. And he's at work at this point. So, Tom, the cops are looking for it. Oh, I know, man. I know. I said, you know this. He goes, well, yeah. I said, bro, are you dealing drugs out of my place? He's like, well, yeah. I mean, he's like, that's why I send you money in cash. I'm like, look, I figured as much. I didn't want to ask. I said, look, you got to dial it back, man, because the neighbor just called, and I can't remember her name. He's like, oh, man, she's cool. I said, look, I'm going to be honest with you. She said, I like Tom. He's cute and he's dumb. That's her exact quote. You're saying you're making it very obvious. Some of the other neighbors are getting very nervous. He's like, well, yeah, they should be, man, because, like, these cats rolling in. I'm like, Tom, I don't think you're quite getting the message here. You can't drug deal on my place if you're bringing all these guys. So he did stop. Let me rephrase that. I don't know if he stopped drug dealing, but he agreed to move out.
Okay.
All right. He did move out. And I'm like, thank you. I don't know if the cops ever caught up with him or what was going on, but I'm just like, oh, my God, dude. I'm like, and I'm saying, like, dude, the neighbors are nervous. Yeah. Yeah, they should be, man. These dudes, I'm telling you.
They're bad dudes.
Yeah. Like, you know what I'm messing with. I'm like, Tom, that's not the point, man.
And he was still at his regular 9-to-5?
He did. Look, man, he worked a regular 9-to-5, and he had to be a middleman. He's definitely not smart enough to be at the top. You know what I mean?
All right.
He was dealing in quantities, and as the woman who called me explained, she goes, like, these are nice rides, and the cats that are getting out of here are just do not F with them. I'm like, wow.
Okay. Who is your most memorable neighbor and why? 206-803-ROB.
I mean, it's almost worse when he laughs. He goes, yeah, she's right. They're dangerous.
Yeah, man, seriously, you wouldn't want to mess with these guys. I'm like, Tom, that is not the point I'm making, bro. Yeah, so that's the guy that rented my place. Hello, Eisen. Welcome to the men's room.
Uh-oh.
Eisen, are you there?
Muted. Eisen.
I think he's there. I'm going to put it back on hold. Hello.
Take your phone off mute, Eisen.
Hello, Dan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello. How you doing?
Hola.
Victoria. So I had a neighbor who was a lobster distributor.
All right.
And he would come over, and we just moved into the place. And he came over once, and he says, hey, you want some lobster? I'm like, what do you mean? So I distribute lobster, and I got some extra. It's the weekend. I said, sure. So he brings over about 5 lobster. So that was cool. So a couple weeks later, my wife and I, or my girlfriend and I at the time, going camping over to Lake Wenatchee, and we're right at the stop sign at the end of the cul-de-sac, and we're ready to take a right, and he comes around the corner on the left, and he says, hey, where are you guys going? I said, oh, we're going camping. He says, hey, you want to bring some lobster? I said, sure. So we go back to the house, empty out the beer from the cooler, and put 11 lobster in.
Jesus.
The cooler, and go over to Lake Wenatchee to this little group camp we had. We had about 15 people there. So we're boiling. We only had a pot big enough to fit one at a time in. So we're boiling up this lobster for about 3 hours that night, eating lobster at the campfire for nothing.
That's a hell of a neighbor.
Where is he getting all this lobster here?
I mean, because he's not sending it to restaurants. I can tell you that right now. He's not.
Yeah, no. He distributed to restaurants.
Well, so tell me where they are.
On my birthday, he comes over. I said, yeah, it's my birthday in the weekend. We're having a little get-together. He says, oh man, I'll bring some lobster. I said, cool. So, of course, he brings like 15 lobster. He brought me one, though, for my birthday. It was an 8-pound lobster, big enough. We put a big old fat cigar in one of its claws and a can of Bud in the other claw and set him up against the lawn chair like he's sitting in a lawn chair. And I mean, an 8-pound lobster is a big lobster.
Yeah, it's a big lobster.
And, oh, man, it was the best birthday I think I've ever had. Best neighbor I've ever had by far. And my neighbor now, I've had him for 30 years. He still hasn't given me a single lobster. So
You should let him know.
That's right.
That would be a great hookup. Anything like that. Anything like that would be awesome to me. I would figure out a way to reciprocate. You know what I mean? I would find something that I could do.
But a lot of times, we have a meat guy. It's just, it's one of the parents of another kid at the kid's school. And he's like, I'm a meat guy. Same like the lobster guy. So he'll offer you something. Even if you say like, man, July 4th is coming up. Thinking about grabbing stuff. Like, he will show up at your door. And there's like 8 steaks, a bunch of burgers, all this crap. And I'm like, man, you, what do we owe you for it? So, it's on the house. Don't worry about it.
Oh, dude. When I lived in Maryland, I had a cow guy, right?
A cow guy.
You could buy like half a cow.
My neighbor bought a cow every year. And he'd say like, hey, man, do you want to throw some money in? Because, you know, typically I've still got some freezer room, but I can never get that whole thing in there.
Yeah, of course.
I normally used to split it with this other guy, and he's not interested anymore, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, look, man, I'll take like a fourth. I got another buddy. I know he'll take a fourth. You take half.
All right.
That was the greatest hookup ever. Yeah. I do not remember how much money I gave him.
Did he do all the butchering?
Yes.
Nice.
Well, the guy who we bought the cow from would dress the cows. So, like, you just get steaks, hamburgers, ribs, you name it, man. He'd give you, like, just a box of a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And whenever I paid for it, it was the... I actually went out to BJ's Warehouse, which is the equivalent of a Costco, and bought a... I probably needed one anyway because I had young kids at the time. But I bought a chest freezer for my garage just to put this stuff
Just to put the meat in?
Just to put the meat in. It was so good. I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. I was like, Mark, man, anytime, man, you ready to do that cow order? You know, like, let me know, man, because I'm burning through steaks. I get the grill fired up like almost every night because I'm just like, why not? I got all this crap.
One of the restaurants I worked at, we ended up having pig people. We did not know we had pig people. They were a dairy farm, and our restaurant, I guess, was their first kind of commercial client or whatever it is, right? But it really helped sustain them, and they had really good cheeses, blah, blah, blah. So they wanted to pay us back, just a thank you for doing so much business with them, all right? Now, the restaurant's about to open. We are very, very busy in the kitchen. So the bar back, he comes running in. He says, hey, man. The dairy people are here. We're like, just throw the cheese in the fridge. Thanks, man. We appreciate it. Then he comes running back in the kitchen, and he says, what do you want me to do with the pigs? I said, what do you mean? What are you talking about? He goes, oh, they got two pigs for you. Like, what do you mean pig? We don't assume he means the actual animal. It was two actual pigs, frozen solid. All right, so we walk out there, and there they are. They're just pigs, and they are frozen freaking solid. One, they're very hard to pick up because they weigh a lot, and they're very slippery. Because they're frozen. And we're like, here's the thing. Like, thank you, but we don't know. This is that place, Brewer's Art. All right? So this is back of Baltimore. Yep. We don't know where to put these pigs. There's a bunch of beer coolers. It was one of the first kind of brew pubs in Baltimore, as it were, right? Produce our own beer kind of thing. So there's a lot of refrigeration, but there's not a lot of additional room. You know what I mean? So there's this one deep freezer that's about the size of a Superman phone booth. And I don't remember what we kept in there normally. But anyway, but it had shelves on the other side. The only place we could put these pigs was in this freezer. But even then, we had to put them in vertically, one on top of the other. Because, like, literally, they don't fit anywhere. So we're stacking them up, and then you had to close the door real fast, right? Because otherwise, they're going to fall out. So the first time we see this one waitress, she was hot, but just ditzy as hell. And I can't remember what we told her we needed, but can you grab it out of the little freezer? She's like, sure. And we all just put down our knives. We're like, wait for it. pig tumbled out, hit her, took her down, dude. They're sliding across the floor. They're like, oh, my God. We're like, yeah, we did that on purpose, and we don't need what we asked for. We just want
to. So you actually had to dress an entire pig?
Yeah, two of them.
I would have no idea even where to start.
Took a little while to figure it out.
Down the middle?
That's the first thing.
Saw to get the bone and stuff? Like,
because we're all looking at these things.
Like a ham has a, you know, like a bone ring in it.
Because being a cook and being a butcher are two different things, right? We can all cook, but now it was like eight of us standing there looking at these pigs. Like, what the F are we going to do, man? You know what I mean?
Well, most people, even if you barbecue, you know how to trim your brisket and this and that.
Yes.
You don't know how to butcher a cow.
No.
I would have no idea. I would have no idea.
I can butcher the parts, but I don't know how to butcher the animals. So, I mean, it's just these two just solidly frozen pigs.
Like, where's the pork chop located?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
And the thing is,
I have no idea. I mean, I know where the hams are.
I left that job.
I
mean,
I know where the ribs are.
But I left that job before we ever got around to the pig. I ended up moving to New Orleans before we ever got around to doing anything with the pigs. They were just in this deep freeze. For however long. They might even still be there. Hell, I don't know, man. But, I mean,
I had a second cousin that worked at a butcher shop. It's hard to explain because it wasn't that far from where I grew up, but it was tucked in the back of a, corner store, just inside Beltsville, right?
Okay.
So, I'm trying to think of, Shoreline out here.
Right.
Right? So, hugely populated, but he was him and the owner. They sat in the back, and they butchered stuff for real. But in the fall... I mean, there'd be a line out the door of people showing up with deer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just to have them. Yep. Right. And, if you went anywhere around that area, especially because his whole thing in the fall was he barely got days off. But if you took him to, a Maryland game, people you've never met before would be like, Sean, you take care of that for me? I still owe you this.
Dude, I went to a guy's house. He did a whole pig.
All right.
Yeah.
And he did a pit pig, which means that you
kind of bury it under there.
Yeah. You start the coals in the ground and then you cover the damn thing with dirt. It's kind of in like a burlap bag.
Yeah.
Pull that bad boy out. But when he took it out, he had it spread on this huge ass table, like a picnic table.
Yeah.
I mean, all out. And of course, I go up there and there's a couple forks and stuff, knives to cut crap out. And I've got a whole plate of pork. And my girlfriend.
How good was it?
It was great. My girlfriend's like, what did you get? And I'm like,
I don't know.
I just reached in there, saw some meat, man.
Right.
She's like, well, is it like the pork chop or the I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what this is. I have no idea.
The only thing I know for sure is up around the shoulders, that's usually pulled pork. Shoulder or a Boston butt. And then the actual butt is the ham.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
I have no idea. You got to get those cheeks.
Yep.
I've been somewhere where they had a little tiny Asian, what do they call it, a suckling pig?
Yeah.
And same thing. I knew the guy that was throwing the party, and he's like, before anybody else gets a crack at it, come over with me. And we cut off his cheeks.
And?
Awesome. So delicious.
Why is it always cheeks? Halibut cheeks?
I know.
It's the truth.
I mean, seriously.
If you eat a person, do you eat their cheeks?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Are cow cheeks so good we've never even seen them before because they don't make it out?
You don't hear cow cheeks.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know, but I know down at Radiator Whiskey in the market, you could order just a pig's head and eat it.
Huh.
Just kind of pick at it.
You should do that on a first date.
Yeah, why not?
You know? She can get through that.
She's cool.
She's a keeper.
Want to watch me eat a pig head?
Who was your most memorable neighbor and why? 206-803-ROCKS. We go to hell on earth.
Hell on Earth.
Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Correct. Hell on Earth.
Hell on Earth. If they gave you $30,000 a year and a free place to live there, you still would say hell no.
No.
How much?
Because you would be rich.
$30,000. In Scranton.
And you have a free place to stay.
No.
And you go, no, I'm not doing it.
Do I have to live in Scranton?
No way I'm living in this place. But we're in Scranton now. As a man broke into his neighbor's apartment and then punched out his own window to make it seem like someone had also broken into his apartment. So a Scranton man breaks into his neighbor's apartment.
All right. Punched out his own window.
Goes and punches out his own window.
Okay.
So it looks like, look, it just wasn't me that got hit or her that got hit. It was me, too. Michael Ashton, 43, faces felony charges of burglary and criminal trespass. So here's what goes down. Police reported to the address on a Wednesday at 1:30 with the report of a man later identified as Ashton who broke into his neighbor's apartment while she was away. Now, officers noted that Ashton's hand was bleeding and asked him why he punched out his own window. And he just said then, well, I was just angry. So officers then spoke with Cindy Reeder, and she said that she hadn't been in her residence since early in June. And when she returned, Her front door was off the hinges.
Jeez.
Her television and fans were missing. Now, according to Reader, she told police that Ashton was the only one who had access to her apartment because both of the apartments are off of a main hallway and both have keys only to that hallway.
Okay.
Ashton then, for whatever reason, gave officers permission to search his residence. Now, when police entered his living room, they spotted the black fan that Reader said belonged to her. Ashton then admitted to officers that he took the fan.
Yeah, because it's in your home.
After being read his Miranda warnings, Ashton admitted he took one of the fans before July 4th because it was too hot in my apartment. He said Reader's door was already off its hinges before he entered it.
Sure, sure.
He said he'd not taken Reader's television, but he felt guilty and he was willing to give her his. Reader told police Ashton had also been using her refrigerator and had placed multiple six-packs of Pabst Blue Ribbon beer in her freezer.
Jeez.
In her freezer. She told officers she had never given Ashton permission to go into her apartment or use her refrigerator. He remains in the Lackawanna County Prison in lieu of $20,000 bail.
Lackawanna.
Who is your most memorable neighbor and why? 206-803-ROCK.
Quick text for both of you guys. It says, most taco trucks do, in fact, have beef cheeks.
Do they?
Order the Cabeza or Cabeza tacos.
All right.
C-A-B-E-Z-A.
Good to know.
Yeah. Really give it a try, man.
All right.
Good looking out.
I'm telling you, Miles said it years ago, but any animal, eat the cheeks.
It's something about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
I bet my cheeks would be good.
That's what I'm saying. If I'm a cannibal, do I go like, oh, I saved the cheeks for last?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Humpy, either first or last.
Humpy Sports Bar in downtown Anchorage. They have an appetizer that are breaded, deep-fried halibut cheeks.
Oh,
with,
yeah.
Like a sauce or something on the side that you dip it in. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I had no idea how good that was.
Mm-hmm.
We ordered that. I was like, this is unbelievable. And it was every bit of $12.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
For like, you know, 10 of them. Who is your most memorable neighbor and why? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to the men's room.
Good afternoon, fellas. How's it going?
Hola.
So I grew up in North Jersey back in the 80s. So maybe you know where this will be going. But as you know from being back east, a lot of the first aid squads are run by volunteers.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
My dad was a volunteer first aid squad. And he would do this like every other Friday night, and they would team him up with a partner. And so getting to my neighbor, my next door neighbor was this old crotchety guy who was just mean. And I was playing wiffle ball in the backyard with some friends, and we hit the ball over the fence into that guy's yard. And we were like trying to figure out how to get it when the neighbor ran out with a knife, cut the wiffle ball in half, and threw it back in the yard. So I'm upset. You know, I'm 9, 10 years old at the time. I'm really upset and crying. And my father happened to be in the area with the ambulance with his partner. So they come by the house and he sees me crying. He's like, well, what's the matter? And I show him the wiffle ball. And I said, you know, I said, the neighbor, he cut the ball in half. I can't play wiffle ball anymore. Well, the guy that he was with, and this is where I get to the Jersey part, he was one of those Jersey Italian men.
All right.
And oh. I'm pretty sure he was connected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he walked over to the neighbor and said, you will replace that boy's wiffle ball and get him another one, or I'm going to cut off your D.
Oh, and wow. All right.
Next day, I had brand new wiffle balls.
Nice.
He never bothered us again about hitting the ball into his yard, over the fence and into his yard after that.
Well, you're right about one thing, man, because you said, like, a Jersey Italian guy, probably connected. Like, a lot of people can threaten you, and you're like, man, F you, get out of my face. That type of dude, like, when they
that's different.
You believe them word for word. Mm-hmm.
Now, were you of the age range when, where Action Park was a thing in Jersey?
Yeah, I called you guys once before, and we talked about Action Park, and I've been there. I have a scar in my arm from Action Park. That place was a nut house, and I've been there.
Okay. Did you? I mean, at the time that you went to Action Park, did you realize the inherent danger of this place?
No idea. I mean, we didn't think about it. We would go down that alpine slide and push that thing all the way forward so the brakes wouldn't engage and go as fast as we could. But we didn't know we could tip off the side or go down those tunnels. We were stopping in the middle of the tunnels and letting other kids run into us. And then we'd all come out the thing at once into the pool, and the guards would just be like, hey, stop doing that, please. And you're like, okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah, right. Whatever.
God almighty. Action, bro. I have a scar from that place.
Who was your most memorable neighbor and why? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Caitlin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Hola. Doing well, Caitlin.
I'm doing well. So, I grew up in Kingston, Washington, and we had this neighbor.
You sound a little more Jamaican than like you're from here.
Oh, thanks, I guess. So, we had this neighbor. It was a married couple, and they had three daughters. So, the married couple since then have been divorced. This was about 20 years ago. And I ended up going to the ELO concert a couple years ago at the Tacoma Dome.
That was a great show.
It was. It was great. And I ran into him. And I'm not a small woman. and I was wearing a shirt that was very low cut. And I ran into the father of that family.
Okay.
And he looked me up and down in a certain way.
Are you saying you're a larger chested woman?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All Absolutely. Right.
The thing is, he met me when I was 14.
So, but now that you're a full-grown woman.
I was 37 then.
All right. Well.
But it was, the way he looked at me was very creepy.
You got big boobs, you got a low cut top. Yeah, so we don't do it on purpose.
My husband always says, well, if she's wearing it low, you might as well look. But
I mean, yeah, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings by not looking. Right. But was it creepy to you just because you knew him as more, not a father figure, but as an adult male kind of thing?
Yes, yes. Okay. I knew him as like when I was a kid. And then, yeah.
No, had he seen you since then?
No.
But did he even recognize you?
Yeah, at first, no. But then once I explained who I was, then he kind of looked me up and down like, oh, you grew up.
Yeah.
And out.
Hey, look, here's a funny one on that Jeff Lynne tour, right? So it's the last hurrah. It was called the Over and Out Tour. And he played Climate Pledge, but it was like his second or third show of the tour.
Yeah.
So it kind of sucked. They weren't really on point were at Tacoma. But they have the last big show. It's going to be in London. Like, this is it. Jeff Lynne, London, the whole
year. Oh, yeah.
He got sick and canceled.
Yeah, he canceled. I read that.
It was like his last show.
Yeah, it was going to be his last show ever.
Ever. In his hometown.
And it was a big deal.
And he canceled. Yeah. I mean, even Castle was saying, when he was over there for the Aussie thing, he goes, you know, this Aussie thing is a big deal here. Oasis is coming here. That's a big deal. People are losing their mind. About over ELO. The fact that ELO, and ELO did play there.
Yeah.
But, you know, but they canceled the very last show on the tour.
Yeah, but he's sick, right? Something's
going on.
Yeah, yeah.
That seems, that's got to be like a legit.
It is. It without question, it is. It's just like, you know, you did all that, and then this is like.
There's the last one, baby.
Here's the finish line, and you just fell. Who is your most memorable neighbor and why? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Solomon. Welcome to the men's room.
Good morning. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon. So who was your memorable neighbor?
Well, I just bought my first house. It was like 2000 in Wallingford. And as soon as I moved in, I make nice with my neighbors on both sides. And this one guy that was on my left side there, he would, I'd always see him on his yard, so I'd wave, you know, they had a pretty good rapport. Then I noticed that after about a month or so, he would just get drunk, but his behavior would change. I realized after this, like listening to him, I think he had schizophrenia, but I wasn't sure at the time. And then one time he actually attacked me.
He attacked you?
He actually physically attacked me out in the yard. And so I called the police, I reported it, but there was no witnesses, you know. And so about 3 weeks later, I wake up and he's standing at the foot of my bed.
Jeez! How did he get in?
Yeah, I probably left the door unlocked or something like that. I don't know. There was no sign of force entry.
Are you skydiving right now, by the way?
Is that better?
Yeah, much better.
Jesus,
much better.
God, we couldn't even understand.
So I filed for a restraining order.
But wait, before we get there, you wake up, he's standing at the foot of your bed. What is the next thing that happens?
Yeah, what does he want?
Does he attack you again or what?
No, I basically freaked out and I screamed at him. I said, get the F out of my house.
And I literally had to like push him out of the house. And he was just saying some like crazy stuff. And that's when I realized, you know, for sure he must have schizophrenia. But still, you know, I didn't feel any safer. But he didn't try to, you know, he didn't physically harm me when he was actually in my house. So I called the police and I reported it. And then I tried to get a restraining order. And my attorney, you know, he figured out that he did have a history of mental health issues.
Okay.
But somehow the other attorney argued that, you know, his old history, you know, didn't have anything to do with the current, reason why I wanted to have a restraining order.
So it was in your house, standing at the foot of your bed.
So they gave you the restraining order.
At the foot of my bed, yeah. It scared the crap out of me, you know, but. So after I wasn't able to get a restraining order, I just never spoke to him. And every single time, this was before cell phones were around, so I had a video camera. So every time I saw him outside, if I was going to be outside, I had a video camera ready just to, you know, video tape anything that, you know, might have happened.
How long did you live next to this dude?
I moved out probably about 2 years later.
Okay, was he the reason why?
What's that?
Was he the reason why?
Yes, he was.
Damn. Yeah. Wow.
Well, the thing is, he could have a restraining order, but he might not even know it.
It
might not even register what he's doing.
It's the idea of waking up with someone standing at the foot of your bed. I mean, he had the right reaction, like, get the F out. But then you wonder, how long have they been standing there?
Correct.
Did they just get into my room and I woke up to the sound? Have they been standing there for 20 minutes watching me sleep? I mean, that's what bugs me the most.
Even if you're sleeping with your significant other or whatever... Like, it's weird to wake up and somebody's just staring at you.
Yeah.
Man, my daughter, when she was like 3, it was like the movie The Ring, all right? We fell asleep with the TV on. She had gotten out of her bedroom and wanted us. I don't know. She didn't feel good, whatever. But when I wake up, even though you were asleep, you sense that there's a presence in the room, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of pop my eyes open. She's standing at the foot of the bed. The TV's behind her. Her hair is in all this disarray, but it's just silhouette. And, I mean, it freaked me the F out. Like, I knew it was my daughter, but when I first saw her, I'm like, Jesus Christ! Sorry, baby, what do you need? What was that about? Like, don't worry about it, baby, it's good. But looked at my wife, I'm like, that was creepy as F, man. I mean, like, that, it was unsettling.
Who was your most memorable neighbor and why? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Jason. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
So, I had Leon Spinks as a neighbor when I was growing up in Illinois.
Was he as ugly then as he was as an adult?
Yes.
Was he adult Leon, or did his brother live with him?
No. It was Leon. It wasn't his brother. It was Leon. People would go and buy him drinks at the bar all the time because he was a raging drunk. Then one night he was chilling out at my house with my mom. And then being loud, and my dad would wake up and politely ask him, hey, can you please keep it down? I got to get up for work in the morning. After about 2 or 3 times of that, my dad comes out and says, listen here, mother effers, the next effing person that makes a noise, I'm going to kick the effing S out of them. Then the next day, my mom politely told my dad, that was Leon Spinks you just threatened. Even about 4 shades whiter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leon beat Muhammad Ali, right?
In the mid-70s.
Yeah. I mean, he had one big upset. Because he was the heavyweight champion of the world for a minute.
For a minute, yeah.
For a little while, yeah. He did it as a new pro. He was 7-0-1 when he did it.
Wow. So he was like a Buster Douglas. Right.
Did you live near him in St. Louis or in Henderson?
No, this was in a suburb outside of Chicago.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, he was really big into the bars, and everyone would buy him a drink, and he'd call it hanging out with the homies.
Yeah. I remember the cover of Sports Illustrated. Look, when it was boxing on, raised with an Italian stepfather, there were 10 dudes in a room watching whether it was Wild World of Sports, who was putting it on Saturday.
Back when it was free.
Whether it was a fight at night or whatever the deal.
Friday night fights. I mean, bring it up all the time. Yeah. Like, I used to watch it. Mm-hmm. My mom used to watch Friday night
fights. I used to watch it with my dad.
Yeah, right,
with
her dad. That's where we bonded. Right. I was talking to a Mexican-American woman the other day, and she was like, you know that? I was like, I grew up watching this. She was like, so did me and my dad.
Right. Yeah. And you know what, man? They would argue. They'd be like, well, you know what? nothing compares to the middleweights. Because the middleweight division with Hagler, and, with Hearns, with all these guys.
Man, Hagler was my guy.
That was the division. I mean, heavyweights existed. And they were big dudes and they went after, man. But nothing like those middleweight fights. I just sit there and be like, Jesus, man. I mean, they're just throwing just thousands of punches.
And it's pretty much the same thing now.
They're not tiring out, you know?
It's pretty much the same now. There's a couple of really solid heavyweights. But yeah, the lighter divisions, man, those are the ones to watch.
Well, and Friday night fights also, like, right? Like, we just like boxing.
Yeah.
But, like, and it sounds silly, but I used to cheer for Canelo before I knew he was Mexican.
Absolutely.
He's red hair and pale.
You thought he's like, some Irish dude.
Correct. Honestly. I was like, I'm going to cheer for him.
Because he looks like he's Irish.
I actually.
Right. And then to find out is to hear him speak Spanish, his name was Saul Alvarez. I mean, blew my mind.
That same thing, man. Because they said something about, oh, you know, the Mexican gyms, they're really firing up now. And I'm like, look at my wife, like, but Canelo's fighting. Why don't they keep talking about these Mexican gyms? And she's like, well, maybe he just trains there. Same thing. They went up to interview him. And I'm like, that dude's Mexican?
Really?
He's a pale redhead guy. Seriously.
Damn. But I mean, again, though.
You just pull up a picture of him.
When you would watch those guys and they were just starting out, like, there wasn't a ton of info on them.
No.
There's nothing about that.
No kidding. That's the dude.
No kidding. Are you just finding out who Canelo Alvarez is?
Yes.
He's the biggest, best boxer in the world, Kurt.
He has a fight coming up, doesn't he? Like in
September 13th.
All right.
Against Bud Crawford.
That's right, yeah.
On Netflix.
Bud Crawford.
I'm excited.
It should be a good fight.
Who sucks last? Count at 4:30 and your email's on the way next to the men's room at KISW.com.